Hi, my name is Grace Norman, and I ran cross country and track for a Division II school in Ohio called Cedarville University. I am also an elite level triathlete and compete in the Paralympics for triathlon. Sport has meant so much to me growing up, but specifically running in college, my goal was to compete to the best of my ability among able-bodied runners. My message was to bridge the gap between able-bodied and amputee runners, and I am hopeful that I was able to do just that. Throughout my time in college, there were ups and downs with running, with injury and different seasons and quickness, but throughout it all, it definitely made me into the person I am today, and I'm very grateful to have been able to compete at a collegiate level.
All right, so welcome everyone to episode 11 of Triple Knot, a podcast for female collegiate runners to share their stories. I'm your host, Haley, and today I am here with Grace Norman, who just finished her senior year at Cedarville University in Ohio. So congratulations, Grace. Thank you so much for your time today. How's it feeling to be done with college?
You know, it's kind of surreal. Like, I feel like these 4 years went by so fast. Like each day went by long, but the years flew by. But it does feel good. It's a new milestone that I've achieved. So yeah, it's definitely a weight lifted off my shoulders.
Yeah, for sure. It's like so weird because we're not actually at school right now. And I hit submit on my last assignment yesterday and I was kind of like, well, this is anticlimactic.
Oh, yeah.
So Grace runs track and cross country at Cedarville, and she's also a highly accomplished triathlete. So I looked at her profile on Team USA right before this, and I'm going to read off some of her accomplishments. So she was the first female amputee to finish on the podium at a high school state track and field championship event. She's a five-time paratriathlon world championship medalist. She's your 2016 Paralympic triathlon gold medalist. And at that same Paralympics, she was the bronze medalist in the 400 meters for the T44 category. She holds world records for the 800 meter and 1500 meter T44 classification on the track. And yeah, those are just some of her accomplishments, but clearly an incredible history-making athlete we have right here. So Grace, triathlon's a pretty niche sport and was new to the Paralympics in 2016. Running not so much, pretty commonplace activity there, but I'm interested what your athletic background is that ultimately brought you to where you are today.
Yeah, so I grew up in a very athletic family. My parents were both runners and my dad was a swimmer. So running was my first sport that I got into. It was just very natural for me to follow along what my family was doing. I have an older sister who ran for college as well for Cedarville University, and I have a younger sister who swam. And so, like, for me, our family, there was just it was kind of expected to run. So I started running in junior high and ran all the way through high school, and then just finished my collegiate career at Cedarville University. But I got into triathlon, I think, like midway through high school. My dad actually started doing triathlon, and I was also a swimmer in high school too, so I had both that competitive background in swimming and running. And my dad started doing triathlon, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, it's three different sports, it's not just one, so like, I won't get bored whenever I'm doing it. And so then that was kind of my main drive, just to try it. Something that really motivated me a lot was, since I was a young girl, I always wanted to be in the Paralympics. But there's something about the Paralympics that's different than the Olympics, is that in track and field, they don't have all the events for every single disability category. So for my specific disability category of missing my foot below the knee, they only have a few different races. So I, in Rio, there was only up to the 400 meters. That was the longest race they had. Wow. And I am not a sprinter by any definition, but I made the 400 happen, but I was looking for something a little bit longer. So when they were saying that they were debuting the triathlon in Rio, I was very excited and thought that a 5K would fit me a little bit better coming from a running background. And so that's kind of what helped motivate me into becoming a triathlete.
Wow. So what were some of your first experiences with competitive triathlon? And then when did you know that you were qualified for the Olympics?
Yeah, so triathlon started off pretty slow for me. I started with just the local triathlons in Ohio at just the local lake and had a blast. Started with the shortest distance possible and took like 5 minute transitions, you know, putting on different clothes, changing, like complete, just, you know, having a blast, but very slow. And I got into my first international triathlon race, I think in 2015 or 2014 or 15, I can't remember. But that was a really steep uphill. Triathlon is not something that is super easy to get into at the elite level. You have to really work hard to even make the start list of the race. So you have to be racing and getting your name out there and earning points by your finishing times through like national championships. And then there's different levels to the elites racing. And so it was really difficult to get to that first start list. But then it kind of just took off from there. My first international season, I made the world team and was able to compete at Worlds. That was an experience of itself. I was very new to triathlon. I was very new to all of the challenges that can go wrong during a race. Unfortunately, during my first Worlds race in 2000, and I think it was 14. Yeah, I think 2014 or 15. I had a lot of things go wrong, and but you know, it's a start. And so then in 2000, and so that must have been 2014. Yeah, so 2015 was the year before Rio, and that was like the year before the Olympics and Paralympics is one of the biggest years because you're building and getting prepared to qualify for the Paralympics. And so for triathlon, it's a little bit different than like track or the marathon, where the track and marathon have like one day, they have trials. If you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't. But for triathlon, they have a few different criteria and it's different each year. But in Rio, for Brazil in 2016, it was different races and you had to be top in the country. You had to podium at a specific race and then you were, you could like provisionally qualify and then you could officially be named. So in 2015, I did the test event in Brazil, which is, we got to actually go to the course and race the course, preview it, which was really cool. But those events are super important because it's either an automatic or a provisional qualifying slot. So if you won that race, you would automatically qualify. I placed second in that race, and so I provisionally qualified, which means that I earned a spot for my country, but not myself. And so,
wow.
So basically, the U.S. had the, I earned a slot for them, but they could decide if they wanted me in that slot. And so in March of 2016, I was able to race our continental championships and I won that and that solidified my spot on Team USA for the Paralympics. So it was just a few short months as like knowing I was confirmed on the team.
Wow. That sounds like such an elaborate process just to get the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's so interesting too, that the 400 is the longest race on the track. And that's something that I was kind of wondering because I feel like I've heard of multiple amputee athletes that have competed on the track, but not so much in like, I don't think I've heard of anyone in the marathon or country.
Yeah, it's very interesting because they don't have enough medals and enough to make every single category have every single event, but it is a bummer because the 400 is as low as I go, but there's definitely not a ton of races for amputees right now. There is a marathon in the Paralympics, but I think it's class different. I haven't really looked into that very much.
Interesting. Yeah, so the thought process is kind of like if they're going to offer an event, they need to offer it for every single classification, so then it just becomes so many races. Is that?
Well, I mean, yes and no. Like, every category of disability has different events. So there are, like, the wheelchair category has a lot of events, and it ranges from 100 meter up to, like, 1500 meter. I think there might be a 5K. And then there's, like, visually impaired have different events than the amputees. And so there's a lot that goes into selecting the events. I'm not quite sure everything, but it's like, how many countries will be represented by each in difference, and like if there's enough, like how many events they already have. Like, there's so many things that go into it, and yeah. So the 400 actually debuted in Rio, but also ended in Rio, and will not be continuing on to Tokyo this 2021 for the below the knee amputee. So that's sad, but
oh wow. So you're not going to be. Presumably you're not going to be racing track in the Paralympics in the near future?
No, not for right now. I think for Tokyo 2021, my sole focus will be on triathlon. If they bring the 400 back, maybe in the coming years, but as of right now, just triathlon.
So you made it through this long process to get to the Olympics, which is a huge accomplishment in itself. And, you know, I think every child at some point has the dream of being an Olympic athlete. So I can't imagine what a thrilling experience that must have been. What was the actual experience of being there and racing like?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of, it's really hard to put into words sometimes, like, it doesn't seem real that it happened, you know. It seemed like it was just yesterday, but also so far away ago, like, but it was just an incredible experience. The actual Olympic Village, the triathlon team was only in the village for about 4 days before we moved out to our race site, which was about an hour and a half from the village. But just being in that atmosphere was insane. The actual village itself left a little bit to be desired. the food, it was just like a massive cafeteria with like all different slots for different countries. Yet you could pick what food you wanted, but you know, it's cafeteria food mass produced for all these athletes. So that left a little bit to be desired. The housing had tons of plumbing issues, and like, it was cool though, because like Team USA had their own building. I think we shared with like Ireland or something. The elevators were a little bit sketchy. Like every time you got in there, you weren't sure if you're going to get out. And the whole women's triathlon team was all stuck in one room. So we had a bunch of people in there with like all these bunk beds and stuff like that. There was a lot of plumbing issues that happened there. But like the opening ceremonies were crazy. I actually, to this day, have not watched them. I need to. I walked in the opening ceremony, but then continued walking and walked right out and went home just because my race was in a few days and I needed sleep. But yeah, I really need to go back and watch those. But just that feeling of walking in was just incredible. And then the day of the triathlon was so the triathlon was first in the events for what I raced, and so that race I was coming in kind of like the underdog. I hadn't beaten the girl that placed second, Lauren Stedman from Great Britain. I had not beaten her. I don't think I'd ever beaten her, and so no one was really expecting me to win, and I really wasn't expecting myself to win. It was just like, okay, I'm gonna do what I can, like we all do on race day, do what you can, see how fast you can go. And you know, that race, just everything played out perfectly for me. I had an incredible swim and came out first in the water, and then I lost a little bit of time on the bike, but then I was able to maintain enough distance to feel comfortable, and then I was able to just have a solid run and pass her about a mile in, and was able to enjoy that finish line, which doesn't really happen a lot in college athletics, you know, with you're just always fighting someone. But at that level, If you're able to pull away and kind of just take it all in, it was incredible. I was exhausted, but so overwhelmed with emotions and excitement. And it's really difficult to put into words how that feeling was of crossing that finish line, grabbing that banner. And it was an incredible day. Fast forward around, I think it was maybe 24 hours. I had to wake up and the very next day had to wake up and run the final for the 400 meter.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Talk about like feeling like you got hit by a truck. yeah. I woke up and was like, oh boy, this is going to be really, really rough. But you know, I was like, all right, you know, I just won gold yesterday. Whatever happens could be icing on the cake, you know, like we'll just see what happens. And so, yeah, I was seated top three or four. I had raced some of these girls before, so I knew kind of how I could fare on fresh legs, but I had no idea what would happen in this scenario that I was in. I was in lane one. They did a random seed for lanes, which lane one isn't great for a 400. And I remember the first turn was great, all adrenaline. I don't even remember it. Second turn, or like straightaway, I looked around and realized I was in dead last. And I was like, oh boy, I mean, the stagger needed to catch up. But to me, I was like, all right, this is going to be a really bad race. And I was like, okay. And then, you know, the third turn, you're coming in. And I was like, oh, I'm making up ground. And then that last 100 meter, you know, that 400 meter berm where it's just, oh gosh, it's so bad. And I was in third and I was like, oh my word, if I hold this, I'm going to double medal. And I ended up holding it and I set a new American record and I set a personal best for myself. And I still to this day have no idea how that happened, but it was an incredible experience. Just the whole, I think I was there for around a week and a half. It was just start to finish amazing.
Start doing some more triathlons the night before you race and cross country.
I know. I should just do that. Start, you know, adding that to my pre-race routine there.
Yeah. I mean, like, oh my gosh, that sounds so cool. Like at that point, you know, you won gold, you're 18 years old. Like there's literally nothing to lose, you know, just get out on the track and be in the experience. That's incredible. So you raced in, what was it? Was that August of 2016 when the Olympics were?
Yes. Yeah. August, or it was early September 2016. Yeah.
So when did you start college and what was that transition like?
It was crazy transition. I started, I think the like third week of September. So I was around 3 weeks late, or yeah, 3 weeks late. And it was crazy because I was a freshman and I knew really no one, but my school had picked up on the fact that I was competing in the Paralympics and they had broadcasted everything and my name was everywhere and they had a like welcome home party and like all this stuff. And I knew no one, but everyone knew me. And it was just like crazy, like, you know, a little overwhelming, you know, as a 18 year old freshman, you kind of want to blend in a little bit. Yeah, that was not happening for my freshman year. And so yeah, it was a big transition going from high school to college, especially trying to start 3 weeks late. But I majored in nursing, and so my nursing professors have been great start to finish. Starting with that first 3 week late period, they were all super supportive and helping me. And I didn't do really any schoolwork while at the games, just because I was there to race and that was it. But then I had to hit the ground running when I got home. But that year, that fall, I decided to redshirt cross country and not race for them, just because I had been training and racing all summer long. And after the Olympics, I was just kind of like, all right, I need a little bit of a break. So I still ran, but I didn't race that freshman season of cross country.
Nursing is a very demanding major in its own right. And then you're also a triathlete on your college teams. How do you balance that all?
Yeah, I think sometimes I like to punish myself because I pick the hardest things possible, you know, everything I had to pick it. But, you know, for me, the way I found being able to balance things was just really good time management. So for me, that looked like sitting down every morning and writing down to like the half hour what I was going to be doing. Whether that was a workout, eating, sleeping, trying to fit in naps, you know, in between classes, sometimes during class, you know, like whatever I could do to maintain everything. Sometimes different parts of whatever I was trying to balance had to take a little bit of a backseat. So whenever I was heavy in a training phase, sometimes academics would have to take a little bit of a backseat of just, all right, you know, I did everything I could for this assignment and I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock. And so that meant no late nights past like 10 or 11. But it also flipped to where this past year in my senior year, where I was having to work full time as a nurse to finish out that practicum preceptorship training, I would take a backseat where I could only train around 10 hours a week instead of 18, 20. And so, yeah, I think for me, it was major league time management and not having a social life. That also helps take out some time, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds like a really challenging balance, but like you were able to make it work with what you prioritized at different times of the year. And I know it's like so hard to cut yourself off and be like, all right, 10 p.m., got to go to bed. So
yeah, definitely challenging, but worth it.
So how did you end up choosing Cedarville? And you mentioned that your sister also ran there. Did you guys overlap at all?
Yeah, so how I chose Cedarville was my dad is an engineering professor at Cedarville University. It's about 20 minutes from my house. I live in Jamestown, Ohio, and Cedarville is in Cedarville, Ohio. And so for me, it was a tuition break. That was the main drive. But I had also, so my older sister, Bethany, is, she's 3 years older. So we did overlap 1 year. She was a senior. I was a freshman. And she was also a nursing major. And so I had seen her go through nursing and running. And I had been around the college or the university. And so they have an amazing nursing program, as well as a really, really strong Division II women's distance program for both cross country and track. And so for me, it was a perfect fit. I also come from a faith-based family. And so Cedarville holds those values. And for me, that was a perfect fit at the time. And so, yeah, there was just, I loved the track and cross country coach, and thought that I could really make some strides there running for under him, and as well as pursue my degree in nursing.
That sounds really helpful to have that support and guidance too of your sister and your family. So how did you end up structuring your training around? I know the triathlon season is usually March, early-ish March, potentially all the way through September. So how did you structure when you were going to race and train for triathlon and when you were going to focus on cross country at your school?
Yeah, so that was really difficult. For me, it meant I was looking at a 4-year period of really no time off. It was like one season goes to the next. So starting back that freshman year, I took that cross country season off just to give myself a reset. But I was very fortunate to have the coaches that I do. My track and cross country coach is he's extremely flexible with working with me and my other coach for triathlon. And so for me, it was really easy to kind of have everyone work together and figure out a racing schedule for me. Cross country, I only ran 2 of the 4 years. Just because some of those seasons I would come off of triathlon. So triathlon would pretty much end right as cross country was starting up. And so like the races were. So I was looking at if I wanted to finishing the triathlon world championships, flying home next weekend competing in cross country race for college. And so it really depended on my mental state at that time, if I need, and my physical state. A few times I was too overly trained and too injured to even think about running. That was my junior year. I was too injured and mentally just done. So I ran sophomore and senior year. And so sometimes I would come home from that, like finish that triathlon season and be right on and wanting to do cross country. And sometimes I wouldn't. And then I would just make a decision based on that and with everything else in play. I ran all four indoor track seasons because I just love track so much. And so for me, indoor was a big priority. Unfortunately, outdoor season didn't really get to see me as much. In the years past, there was an overlay of triathlons throughout, so I would have to miss a few. And outdoor was really the toughest because indoor season, I wasn't really focused on triathlon because I had a few months to prepare because normally first race is in March. And so I could go full on track with, you know, supplemental triathlon training, but I would race every single weekend, really go all in. But outdoor track, freshman year, I broke my wrist and was not allowed to compete. And sophomore year, I stress fractured my foot. Junior year was just, I don't even know what happened junior year. I was slow. I ran, but I was slow. I think triathlon took a little bit too much priority over track that year. And then we all know senior year was just cut. But, you know, it's just, it was very difficult trying to figure out which races to go. But I was, again, very fortunate and blessed to have the coaches I did, because my track coach would let me miss a track meet for a triathlon, just because he saw the trajectory I was on. He knew what I came from. And so, yeah, it was very difficult. But the only really time off I had was maybe a few weeks after cross country season. So it would go indoor, outdoor, triathlon, cross country, then a little bit of break, and then do it all again. So it was quite the season, that's for sure.
Wow. So the injuries that you had, you broke your wrist, you had a stress fracture. How did you get those injuries? Sounds like some of them might have been overtraining, and how did you overcome them and also overcome the mental side of being injured?
Yeah, so freshman year, I was it wasn't running related or triathlon related. I was doing some like plyometrics on a box and just kind of misstepped and landed on my, you know, did the classic stick the hand out to catch you and like snapped it in like three different places. And that one was really tough because I was like, my legs are fine. But just due to the severity of the break, they didn't want any like jostling movements or anything like that. And so I wasn't allowed to run for a solid like 2 months, 6 weeks, 2 months. And that was really challenging, especially as a freshman. I hadn't dealt with a ton of injuries or different, I guess, like being sidelined for something that I really didn't have control over. You know, when you overtrain, you can, okay, this is where I went wrong. This is where I can fix. With breaking something like that, it was like, all right, that was a stupid move, and now I'm sidelined. And it was just really difficult for me to go through. And really every single year I had something happen. Like sophomore year, stress fractured my foot. I deal with different foot problems just because of my mechanics. Like I'm missing my left foot, but I'm also missing half of my right big toe due to the same birth defect. So that puts a little bit more stress on different places on my foot. And so because of that, I can't run as much mileage, but I like to anyways. And so sometimes I overtrain and get that stress fracture. And then junior year, coming off of Worlds, I had pulled my groin a week before World Championships. Some of that is overtraining. Some of it was just bad moves on my part. But you know, through it all, like for me, injury is very frustrating because I'm not able to do what I can do. And in the moment, it's really easy to spiral and to be really mad and to not want to do the things that you can do. And sometimes like for my wrist, the best thing I could do, the only thing I could do was do nothing. Like there were no exercises, you know, with shin splints, you can do like icing and exercises and, you know, all like the running barefoot and everything like that. With like broken bones and like stress fractures, like nothing is best. And being okay with that was so difficult for me. And being okay with seeing a season go by without being able to take advantage of that was really difficult. But it's also given me such a better mindset now, as an athlete and as a person. This senior season for cross country and indoor track were one of my best seasons because I didn't take it for granted. I didn't say, okay, well, you know, like I'm not feeling this race, so I'm just not going to race well. It's like, no, you're given this race. You're given this opportunity. Whereas 2 years ago, you were sidelined. So you need to run to your best ability. So for me, like during those injuries, it was really tough. But always looking forward to, this isn't going to last forever. And so that's what I took with me. And it really helped me this senior year develop into a stronger person and an athlete.
Yeah, injuries are so tough. And that's so important to be able to find those silver linings. Like as you if you can get through it, I think it really just reshapes your whole mindset around what you're capable of.
It does. It does for sure. Yeah.
And I studied engineering in school. In one summer, I worked in a lab that studies amputee athletes in Colorado, a biomechanics lab. So yeah, I was really interested in what evolution of technology you've seen in artificial limbs, like what your experience with that has been.
Yeah, so over my lifetime, which like isn't super long, like 22 years, but I have used so many different prosthetic limbs, and they've all been great at the time that I used them. So, you know, my first prosthetic, I don't really remember it, but that was amazing to me. You know, I could walk. And I went on with those, it was primitive, but like it was much better than what used to be, you know, 20, 30 years ago. I grew up playing sports like soccer, basketball, but I used that same like very low profile prosthetics. So it doesn't give you a lot in return. You know, like you can load it, but there's nothing that comes back. Like it just kind of falls dead. So for me, that was all I knew. And I used that for soccer, basketball, cross country, track, everything. And to me, that was awesome. It was a little bit better than my walking leg because it was my athletic leg and it looked super cool because I put different designs on it. It had like zebra print. I had like a blue zebra print one, man. I was rocking highest fashion. And it wasn't until my freshman year of high school, cross country season, that I received my first running prosthetic. So the famous cheetah blade. You've got like the J leg look. And so for that was really whenever my athletic career really turned around. Feeling that leg like literally is a miracle. I love that leg still. And just because it's, it gives return, you know, you can load it and it gives back what you put into it. And so having that after never having that and having equal work of my legs was incredible. And so seeing that and seeing the time difference between running with a leg that didn't give you anything and then a one that like actually works like a real leg or not really, but it mimics it, you know, was just off the charts incredible. I got that leg 2 days before my regional cross country race in high school and was able to drop, I think, 2.5 minutes on a 5K just because of the difference of the legs. And, you know, so that was the biggest change I've seen is just working with more dynamic athletic feet. I have also worked with different cycling legs throughout my time. And the one I have now is pretty refined to be the most lightweight and the like fastest for transitions. And so, yeah, just seeing that evolve has been so incredible. And it's inspiring to see like what's going to happen in the future? Like, how is this going to be better? And so, yeah, it's been really, really cool to see that progression.
Does that predispose you to some injuries just because of mechanical balances of the difference between your legs and then also like having to adjust to new legs as well?
Yeah, I think it does. I think we've done a lot of research and study on myself with my hips and my hip flexors. So my sound leg's hip is pretty weak. So I have kind of a little bit of a hip drop. It's definitely better than it used to be, but it's still there, which puts a lot of stress onto my foot. And without having that toe, I can't really balance it that much, which puts a lot of stress, which is why I get stress fractures in that area. I also, all my legs are different heights. So my walking leg is a certain height. My running leg is a few inches too tall because of the compression needed. And then the biking leg is too tall as well, just for because I don't have flexibility of the ankle. So it has to reach all the way down to maintain my hips. So I'm constantly walking around on all different heights of legs. And so it does, I'm sure my back is going to be messed up later down the road. I get some sore lower backs and one of my scapulas is really tight just because of the way my back is situated. So because of all that, I have to be super careful with how much mileage I do, just because it does take more energy as an amputee to run. And so I break down faster. So I have to be a little bit more aware of how much I'm running, what surface I'm running on, and then be extra vigilant in recovery and sleep and everything like that.
So now when you do transitions, it's not just like cap, goggles off, helmet on. You also have to transition your leg. So what is that like? Do you have assistance during any of that? And can you compete in triathlons that aren't under the para designation if you wanted to?
So yeah, my transitions are definitely different than the average person. I cannot run out of the water like normal people can. So this is the only place where I receive assistance. There is normally 1 to 2 people at the exit, and they are just there assigned by the race, and they are there to help whoever needs it. And how they know what to help with is the different color swim caps. So different colors mean different amount of assistance. So a green cap means they need no assistance. Yellow means they need a hopping assistance, and red means they need to be carried like a wheelchair athlete. So for me, I wear yellow, so I need a hopping assistance, and that can be 1 to 2 people, and they just kind of help me hop out of the water to where my leg is, which is a place called pre-transition. And that's where all the prosthetic devices are stationed, and that's where I put on my prosthetic and then continue on to transition, where I do the you know, everything goes in the box, and then got a helmet, and then off onto the bike. And then yeah, between the bike and the run transition, I have to change another prosthetic, not just changing shoes, but changing a prosthetic and shoes. But yes, to answer your question about can I compete in, we call people without disabilities able-bodied, so able-bodied triathlon races. Yes, I can, and I do quite frequently. This past year in 2019, I competed in the Collegiate Club Nationals for triathlon. And that was just across the board, everyone. I think there are around 400 girls, and out of 400, I came 26th. And so for that race, I don't receive any help. If I'm at a local race or a race where there's not a para, or it's not a para sanctioned event, I will do my very best to not have any assistance. So I'll just put my prosthetic right at the water's exit, and I'll just kind of hop out from there, and then, you know, carry on my way. And so, yeah, against able-bodied, I'm still very competitive. I will lose a little bit of time just because of the different like leg transitions. But besides that, I'm pretty equally competitive.
That's awesome. I'm glad that there aren't any, or from what you've said, it sounds like there aren't any major barriers. Is that true?
Yeah, no, there's not. The biggest barrier is just like entrance and exits of the water. That's about it.
Great. Yeah, so I know from my understanding, it seemed like amputee athletes started to receive a lot more visibility when Oscar Pistorius, I think everyone knows him for
yeah,
reason, whether it's the reason you want to or not. But yeah, so he was a bilateral amputee from South Africa, the Blade Runner, for those who don't know, and he started competing in world and Olympic events that were able-bodied events, which I hate saying because it's like kind of just,
I know,
like, oh, I don't know, it just sounds so off to me, you know. It's like, what, it's like a construction, like what you make of it, what our yep. ideas of being fit and normal are. But there was like a lot of controversy that came with that, and it was a lot of BS in my opinion, about him having like a unfair advantage. So I don't know if that's something that you want to speak to. And I'm also just a little curious what your whole perception of able body versus disability are, and if you've ever received any sort of ignorant comments or any sort of pushback from other people.
Yeah, so like you said, there is a bunch of controversy when it comes to amputee athletes competing against able-bodied athletes. They, even in the Paralympic world, there's a lot of controversy between a bilateral amputee and a single amputee. And I haven't done a bunch of research on this, but just from my experience and what I've seen, and this is totally my opinion, other amputees have different opinions, but for my opinion, bilateral amputees, I would say, do have a mechanical advantage over able-bodied and single-leg amputees. I'm not quite sure the discussion between able-bodied and bilateral, but as far as bilateral and single amputees, they definitely have a mechanical advantage just because of they have the ability to lengthen their blades to whatever height, whereas singles are grounded by their sound leg. We can't have, you know, a one leg 10 inches taller and the other leg, you know, you're grounded. But the Paralympics have put sanctions on how tall bilaterals can be. They have a whole system they go through. I don't know it, but there's a whole system where they figure out how tall they can race at. However, that is not the case in NCAA and regular Olympics, where I don't believe there's a sanction on how tall. So when it comes to that, I personally believe there is a mechanical advantage for bilateral amputees, really with anything above a 100 meter, just because of the turnover rate they have. But that's, again, just my opinion. I don't believe I personally have a mechanical advantage over someone with 2 feet. I believe I would be faster if I had 2 normal legs. But yes, I have received several annoying comments from people about, oh, that girl, she must have a mechanical advantage. It's the only way she's fast. And it's like, how about we look at what's going on here? I'm missing complete muscles, bones. I don't have symmetry whenever I run, or my body is not symmetric. And it's like, all right, well, let's look at how hard I work and what I do, and then you tell me I have a mechanical advantage. I think a lot of it is just ignorance, but yeah, whenever I hear those comments, most of the time I just look at them and I'm like, well, I still beat you, so it's all right. but no, like I'm kind about it, but it does bother me a lot. But yeah, you know, I think a lot of it is just working with what you're given and working hard. And so, yeah, I don't believe I have a mechanical advantage with being a single leg amputee.
And what is your perception of being put in a para Olympic category versus an Olympic category?
So for me, I have been fortunate enough to be able to cross over, not in the Olympics, but as far as Paralympic and able-bodied sports. So for me, I'm able to run Division II college and compete very well and still compete at the Paralympic level. So for me, if I can represent my country on the highest stage in Paralympics, I will do so. If I can compete for my college and able-bodied competitive, I will do so. And so for me, it's not that I feel like a lesser athlete in the Paralympics, because Paralympics is the best of the best. And that's where I have competed. If I become fast enough to compete in the Olympics, I will go for it. I don't really see that happening just because of the different challenges that an amputee has with triathlon. But it's not that I see Paralympics as lesser than the Olympics. That can be, some people do, and that's where I would really like to talk to them about it, because I used to think that way too. But throughout the years, racing with the best of the best, seeing that it's not easy to qualify for the Paralympics, it's not easy to win and to stay on top. If it was easy, everyone could make the Paralympics, but that's not the case. And so it's just like the Olympics, and that's what I'm very passionate about. And so for me, if I can cross over and run collegiate and race able-bodied, for sure I will. But I'm also very proud to be a Paralympic athlete as well.
You said that you used to think of the Paralympics as being lower than the Olympics. What changed your mindset of that? I mean, I'm sure just having the experience of working as hard as you do and competing against other people was probably enough, but was there any specific clicking moment that you had?
Well, yeah, I don't know. So this kind of goes along with, so I have a tattoo of the Paralympic symbol, which is kind of a rite of passage after the Paralympics, the Olympics. But when I was 18, I didn't want to be branded with the Paralympic symbol. To me, that was not what I wanted. I was very proud. Like, don't get me wrong. I was extremely proud to be a gold medalist of my country, but I didn't want that branded on me just because of the way I saw it. But throughout the past years, with working so hard and just seeing the different countries and everyone compete and just seeing how much I've had to sacrifice and how hard I've worked, made me very proud to be a Paralympic athlete. It's not a focus on, I guess everything clicked about, I would say a year ago. It's not a focus on the disability, but the ability and how much we overcome and how hard we work to achieve this greatness. And so for me, this past December, I was finally very proud and ready to get that symbol branded on me because I was so proud to be a Paralympic athlete. But, you know, that doesn't negate what I said earlier, where I'm very proud to cross both borders of able-bodied and Paralympic athlete as well.
So let's talk a little bit about how hard you do work. So what type of mileage do you do? What are some of your PRs? Yeah, just like anything about maybe your favorite workouts.
Yeah, so for running, I am notoriously low mileage. Everyone hates me on my team because I literally run very little and still hit my PRs. So I think this past cross country season, I had a 6K PR of around 22 flat. I was hitting my top mileage that I have like pretty much ever hit was like 38 miles a week of just running. And moving into indoor track, I was running maybe 15 miles a week, just running. But that doesn't, like, I supplemented with a bunch of biking and swim training as well. But with that run training, it was more quality over quantity for me. Recovery is big for me, and I perform best under that. This year, I was able to focus on the mile. In past seasons, I have raced the 3K. So my 3K PR is 10:15 on a 200-meter track. And then this year, my mile PR was 5:06 on a 200 flat track. And I have a 5K PR of around, I think it's 18:17. So those are just kind of ballparks of some of my PRs. But yeah, favorite workout. I did a lot of 400s this past season, 400s at mile pace. And those can be good or bad, depending on how much rest you have and how you feel in that day. So for me, I liked the 2 minute rest was a bit stiff, you know, 2.5, 3 minutes was, I felt a little bit more comfortable. So it'd be like 10 by 400 with like a 2 to 3 minute rest. That was probably one of my favorites, but yeah, for, whenever I'm heavy into triathlon training with track or cross country, mainly it was track. It would be, 2 to 3 workouts a day, with normally the track workout being the second of the day. It would be like an early morning swim, a track workout, maybe an easy spin in the afternoon after that. And so it would just be the daily grind of every workout counts. But I also learned the importance of taking the easy days easy and the hard days hard, because if you go hard the whole time, you're not going to make it. So for me, it was prioritizing which session took priority of the other. And yeah, so it would be a lot of training, a lot of sessions. So you can see why I didn't have a social life.
Yep, I totally get that. And yeah, it's like a really hard balance. And I also feel like the swimming and running side of it and the aerobic base that you get from that is just, I don't know, at least I feel like I undervalued that at some point with how much that helped my running. So as everyone knows right now, there's a lot going on in the world with the coronavirus pandemic. And I can't imagine how uprooting that must have been for you going into your senior semester and also an Olympic year. So how have you been affected by that news? When did you first hear about the end to your semester, and how have you been coping since?
Yeah, you know, this whole time with COVID-19 has been heartbreaking and stressful, to say the least. I was in Florida preparing for the Paralympic trials. I was 2 days away from the race when everything got canceled. I was told to leave. And I actually wasn't able to make it all the way home before the lockdown began in my hometown. So yeah, it was a very trying time. Knowing that you would work so hard for everything. I had like a solid stretch of a week where each day something else would be taken from me. First it was Paralympic trials. Then the next day I got told that my senior semester was going online, which wasn't terrible for me, but it made it difficult. And then I got told that my senior season for track was being canceled. And then my triathlon season was canceled. And then my, you know, it just went on and on. You know, my another race that I had planned for triathlon, Collegiate Club Nationals, was canceled. Then I wasn't allowed to go home. And, you know, everything was being hit all at once. And it was very difficult for me. I probably didn't handle it the best way possible. There were some interesting situations that ensued for that. But, I, through that and through being able to like process it finally after a few weeks of just being like, okay, I can't take anymore. I actually see this as maybe working in my benefit, at least for the Paralympics. I have a whole nother year to train and be my best without distractions of school. And even though I love running for college, that is a distraction for triathlon. And so I'll have a whole nother year to work on my weaknesses and not have distractions such as school and track. And so for me, I see a huge benefit in being able to redefine my weaknesses and get a lot stronger. But it is a huge bummer not to be able to have that senior track season. As I really was looking forward, I came off a really strong indoor season, finishing the top miler on my team, and I was really looking forward to dropping my 1500 meter time, and just, you know, finishing out my college career with my friends and especially on my track team. So it was really difficult, but looking on the grander scheme, it's a bit easier for me, I feel, than some, because I know that college, this wasn't my last, that I'm shooting for a bigger goal for the Paralympics. And if that means that right now I can train like 20 to 23 hours a week, so be it, you know, without having to worry about track and school. But yeah, it was extremely difficult, and it's still very difficult right now being away from home. But I'm very fortunate to have incredible host families and people to help me feel loved and cared for, and technology, you know, having Zoom conferences with my family and teammates, and being able to do things like this and talk to people. I feel like, you know, even though this is a heartbreaking time for so many people have lost things, I think it's also brought the world together on a different level. We've been able to put higher priority on reaching out to family members that we haven't seen in a while, and, you know, keeping that human connection pertinent, and it's so important, you know? So I think through this, it's been so challenging, but I think we'll all come out stronger together.
Yeah. Wow. That's a really powerful perspective on it. It sounds like you've taken some time to reflect and ground yourself in a really, really unexpected and uprooting time, because you make so many sacrifices around your athletic and your school life, and then to suddenly have that all changed. Yeah, that sounds really hard, but thank you for sharing that perspective. So it sounds like you're looking towards Tokyo 2021. What are some of your future goals? Where do you see nursing fitting into your life?
Yeah, so everything got changed. I had a whole plan about Tokyo 2020, and I was going to start working after that. I was going to take probably a year to myself, just establishing as a nurse. But now with everything pushed back, and, you know, everything, I still have to live, still have to pay for things. I don't really know where nursing is going to fit in right now. The goal is still the same for Tokyo 2021. The goal is still gold in Tokyo in the triathlon. It's still to work my hardest to be the very best I can be. But I also see the importance of using nursing, because I went through the degree. I love it. I love being able to work with people and help people. I'm just not at this moment sure when I will begin my nursing career, be it in the winter this year or after Tokyo 2021. I'm not quite sure. I'm still in a work in progress through that. But I do see the importance, and I see what positive effect it has on my life, and I'm very excited to the day when I can start using it.
Well, Grace, thank you so much for your time. It's been like such a pleasure to hear from you. I totally remember, because we're the same age, and I just remember in high school knowing who you were and following part of your career, maybe seeing you in USA Triathlon magazine. I don't know if that was a thing ever. I don't know, but I think you've set a new precedent for this generation in triathlon, and it's been really great to hear your perspective.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been an honor to be able to share my story and my perspective on everything. So thank you so much for this platform.
I forgot to ask my signature last question that I've been asking everyone.
All right.
What is a message that you'd leave to a younger version of yourself? And then what is a message that you want to leave to a future version of yourself?
Ooh, that's a good question. Definitely a message to my younger self would be, don't get so caught up in the nerves of racing that you forget to enjoy it. Because whenever I was younger, I would get so nervous that I wouldn't talk to anyone. Like, I was mean, like, the whole day before the race. And I really took that to heart this senior season of indoor cross country and indoor track, where I took every race as an opportunity to go. I guess this is a message my future self is like, take every day an opportunity, either racing or in general, and just take it and live it to the fullest. Whether that's see how fast you can run on the day you're given, or seize the moment, take the opportunity, and enjoy life. That's what I would say to my future self.
That's some great words of wisdom right there. Before we stop recording, do you have any final words or shout outs, or do you feel like there was any part of your story that was missing?
No, I mean, just talking to at least like college athletes, especially like female runners, it can be really difficult to get, and really easy to be caught up in comparing yourself to others. And so I just encourage you to own your story and to do what works best for you. Don't try to conform to other people, and just be confident and really enjoy the 4 years you run in college, because they go so fast and you never know when they can be taken from you by injury or a pandemic. And so, yeah, enjoy these sweet years.